Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hello, and welcome back to Luke's English Podcast. Here I am, talking to you again, this time as the rain falls on the roof above my head. Can you hear that? Just some sound effects. While I'm recording this episode, it's raining, the weather's gone wrong. It's been lovely generally during the lockdown. I mean, weather-wise, we've been lucky enough to have nice weather, which has made things easier to deal with. But not today. Rain. Which makes a change, I suppose. Anyway, I hope you're surviving out there in podcast land. There's been a little delay since the last free episode because I've been making and uploading content for the premium subscribers. Premium people will know that I'm in the middle of a premium series, that's number 22, premium series 22, which is a vocabulary builder series, which also has examples from films and TV shows. I'm halfway through that series, and I'll be uploading the remaining episodes after I've published this episode. This is number 662, and the next episode, that's 663 of the free podcast. If you want to sign up to Luke's English Podcast Premium to get all those other episodes I publish, just go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium. But here we are. This is episode 602 called Catching Up with Amber and Paul, number 10, the first of two Amber and Paul episodes. The pod pals Amber Minogue and Paul Taylor are back again, this time on Zoom, the lockdown video conferencing software of choice. Obviously, we're social distancing, and so we couldn't record in the same room. The result is that the sound quality's not up to the usual standard. You're probably used to that now, I expect. Talking to people online via Zoom and other software has become the new normal. It's probably no big deal, really, to hear a conversation recorded on Zoom on this podcast. But you might find the audio quality makes things a bit more difficult to follow. For example, sometimes Paul in this episode sounds a bit like a robot alien or an Aphex Twin remix. You know the way people's voices distort sometimes in video conferences? That kind of thing. Anyway, the subtitle of this episode is Surviving Lockdown with Kids. And a bit of a heads up here at the start, this is quite a child-heavy episode because all three of us have got kids. And so naturally, this is dominating our experience during the lockdown. We couldn't do a catching up episode without talking about our children, because they're there all the time, you see. We're not complaining. It's wonderful, but it is what it is. Those of you with children will know exactly what this is like. Those of you with no children might not be fully on board with all the kid chat. I don't know. But anyway, you can expect a lot of conversation about being locked up with our children in this episode, including things like how to keep them busy all the time, how their languages are coming along, which children's TV we choose to watch, and which shows we like, don't like, or find really weird, including programs like Paw Patrol, Puffin Rock, Peppa Pig, lots of P sounds, lots of plosive sounds for some reason. Paw Patrol, Puffin Rock, Peppa Pig. Not good for a microphone. And Teletubbies as well, which can be found on Netflix, YouTube or CBeebies, the children's BBC channel. There's also other stuff, including a tangent about a French tongue twister, which is ton 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 ton, which translates as your uncle mows your tuna, which doesn't actually mean anything really. To mow is to cut grass with a mower, like you would mow the lawn in your garden or mow the grass on a cricket pitch or something, you know? You mow the grass with a lawn mower. Anyway, so ton, 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 ton means your uncle mows your tuna. Tuna is a fish, as you know. So if you say your uncle mows your tuna in French, it sounds pretty funny. Ton, 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 ton. The words sound the same, but they are spelled differently. It's just one of those funny things in French. And I'm mentioning this because we talk about it for a few minutes, and there's a good chance that if you don't speak French, that you'll get lost at that point. You'll be going, what's going on? So I'm just preparing you. I'm just trying to prepare you right now. Paul also mentions an English tongue twister, which is English can be a difficult language. It can be understood through tough, thorough thought, though. And when you see that written down, the words have a very similar spelling. Through, tough, meaning difficult, thorough, meaning in, you know, detailed, thought, though. So English is difficult, but it can be understood through tough, thorough, thought, though. So all those words have very similar spelling, but they're pronounced quite differently. You can see that written on the page for this episode on the website if you'd like to see it. So anyway, these tongue twisters actually came up in one of Paul's recent YouTube live videos because he's doing YouTube lives every day during the lockdown. He can't do stand-up shows at this time, so YouTube Live is how he's keeping in touch with his audience. His YouTube Lives are called Happy Hour with Paul Taylor. And basically, at 6 p.m. Central European time, every weekday, Paul opens a beer and talks to his audience, answering questions and generally having a laugh for about an hour. Just search for Paul Taylor on YouTube, and don't forget to smash that like button, okay, guys? And subscribe to the channel, hit the bell icon, hit Paul's bell to get the notifications. What? Hit the bell icon to get the notifications for when Paul is going live, and represent the Lepsters in Paul's comments section. Anyway, as well as a few tangents and things, there is quite a lot of stuff about living in lockdown with kids, as I said. But this episode is not for kids. It's not really suitable for children because there's swearing. The F-bomb gets dropped here and there and some others, so you might want to bear that in mind if you've got kids in the room, either because you don't want your kids hearing those words or because you do want your kids to hear those words in order for them to learn them, and you might want to turn up the volume. I don't know. It's up to you. The main thing is there is swearing in the episode. It's up to you to decide whether, you know, you should play this to your children. The podcast generally is not really for kids. You could listen to it with your kids, but, you know, it's meant for adults. Anyway, I'd like to just make a quick note about swearing on the podcast, actually, because I was having this conversation in the comments section today, or at least I wrote a few comments about swearing. For me, swearing on its own isn't always bad. It depends on the situation and the intention behind using swear words. I include swear words on the podcast sometimes because I want the podcast to be authentic. And when I'm talking to my close friends and family, swear words do come up. But I'm not saying that you should use them all the time. There's a difference between saying a swear word to emphasize something, like, for example, and I'm going to swear now, okay, just as an example. So there's a difference between saying a swear word to emphasize something, like, for example, that film was fucking awful, right? That is different to swearing at someone in order to insult them, like, you're a fucking twat, mate. Which is something that I don't really want to condone. So I'm just saying that swearing, it depends, doesn't it? It's not always bad. And there are some, you know, sometimes when swearing is clearly an insult, and that's not something I really want to condone. I'm saying this because I want it to be clear that although I have swearing on the podcast sometimes, I'm not saying that I'm a huge advocate for swearing all the time. And I'm not trying to teach people to swear at each other. Was that patronizing or unnecessary? I'm not sure. I am a teacher after all, so I feel I need to say things like that sometimes. Anyway, we talk about children a bit, but it's not really for children. And after this one, there is another Amber and Paul episode coming. That's episode 663, with no conversation about our children at all. So there you go. But the main thing is Amber and Paul are back on the podcast, which is great. So let's get started. I will talk to you again at the end of the episode. But now here is the jingle.
Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on another podcast. Paul's a very funny boy. His laugh I very much enjoy. Amber's got a lovely voice. If I could choose an accent, hers will be my choice. Yeah.
So Amber and Paul are on the fucking podcast again. I'm just wondering if I'm going to get interrupted by my daughter already. Normally this happens at the end of episodes I record during the day, but
oh, she's still awake.
Here she comes. All right then. Already a cameo appearance, sauntering. Yeah, still up. It's extremely hard to get her to go to bed these days. There you go. There's a cameo appearance of a little one. Oh, you've suddenly realised. Look, there's actual people here. Say hello to Amber.
Hi.
You want to actually speak? Come on. Speak. Hi. Say hello, Amber.
Hello, Amber.
Oh, hello.
And say hello, Paul.
Amber.
Yeah, okay. Hi. Now say goodnight, guys.
Night-night.
Okay.
Sleep tight.
Okay. Kiss, kiss. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Have a nice sleep.
She's so cute.
Hey. Don't forget that. Okay, so that was a kind of an unexpected interruption there from the little one. But anyway, Amber and Paul are on the podcast again. Hello, guys.
Hi.
Whoop, whoop. What up?
So normally I say, Paul, what's the situation? So why break with tradition? Paul, what is the situation?
Well, the situation is we are all looking at each other in the eyes, but not in real life. We're looking at each other through a screen on our computers using Zoom, which is the new cool kids technology on the block for the lockdown coronavirus situation.
Yeah,
are we allowed to say coronavirus? Will you get demonetized?
No.
Is that a thing?
No,
in podcast
all right.
land. No, I have to be careful with it on YouTube because as soon as you say it, it's like demonetized.
Really? You get demonetized for saying coronavirus?
Yeah, because you know, like they've got rules on YouTube about talking about catastrophes, or you know, like as soon as a school shooting's happened in the US, if people start talking about it, the way Google's like automatic transcriptions are done, they know that you've said that word and they demonetize it. And then if they've got time, they go through and review it. I think it's all right though. I don't really care. But I wasn't sure if on podcast land, you've got sponsors. They love it. It's all like you can say whatever the fuck you want. So anyway, we are here. We're back on the podcast. By the way, Luke,
mm-hmm.
I should say,
yes,
I got a message today mm-hmm. from one of your listeners.
Oh yes.
Yeah, he was, let me discard. Did I send that? Discard that? Did I do that? I don't know. Shut up. Paul. Hold on. Hold, please. Here it comes. It was his name. I don't know if he's a regular contributor to the podcast. I hope he is, because he seems like he was well up for it. He seems like he was like really like looking forward to an episode. His name is Ahmad Khaled. Shout out to Ahmad Khaled that was on my live on Facebook and YouTube, who said, why is there no new episode with Luke's English podcast? What's going on? And so I replied to him, showing him my calendar today, saying, actually, we're recording a new episode today. So, yeah, we're not looking at each other in real life. We can't smell each other's bad breath, but we're still here.
Yeah, it's still actually happening. Amber, hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Yeah.
Do you remember the last time we spoke on this podcast?
You were at my place. I was pregnant.
You were, yeah.
You came over to my new gaff. I gave you some tea. We did a podcast. I was pregnant.
We talked for about 20 minutes about your outside space. Trying to work out if it's a terrace or balcony,
a patio, a veranda.
It's sort of a combination of all those.
Find the correct English vocabulary for it.
I'll tell you what it is. It's a lifesaver.
Is it really?
Saving our lives.
Tell us more.
Well, it's lockdown, isn't it? So, you know, we can't go out. So we've got this big terrace / veranda, patio, etc. And, you know, we can go out there. We've had picnics out there. We've got lots of flowers growing, you know, and Hugo can go out and like draw and cycle. He can cycle his bike around it.
Wow.
It's a pretty tight turn when he's able to do it.
He's practicing for his 3-point turns when he's an adult doing his driving license.
Mate, yes, he's going to be amazing. But no, it's really good. And in fact, every day I'm sort of like thankful that we moved just in time, because I think we'd have gone mad in Paris. I don't know how you guys are coping, but I think it would have been too much for us.
Oh, I don't know. It's all right. It's not that bad. We've got a little outside spot as well, a little balcony. So we sit out there sometimes. We put a little bathtub out on the balcony and my daughter splashes around in the bathtub. It's not too bad. We're doing okay. Yeah. How about you, Paul?
Yeah, we're surviving. Same thing. I mean, we've got a little bit of a bigger balcony than you do. So that's cool. But it's just relentless. Like our girl is 10 months old today, actually. She's like, I said it in one of my videos, like she's not young enough to just be a vegetable and just lie on like one of her play mats and just be like, but she's not old enough to play on her own. So she's just started walking, and it's rough. It's more rough on Addy than it is on me, because, you know, she's sort of looking after her for most of the day while I dick around on YouTube and Facebook and try and keep in contact with the people that follow me and stuff. So yeah, it's just, I think the first couple of weeks was trying to find a routine, like trying to figure out, okay, how long is this going to last for, and how do we do this? Like what do we do every day? I guess the upside of having kids, the three of us, is that we're not bored. Like I've spoken to my friends who are single, not single, but like without kids. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, basically.
And they were bored after like 5 days of like, oh, we finished Netflix. We don't know what else to watch. Like,
we finished Netflix. Like, yeah. Like it's a computer game. We completed Netflix.
Netflix is done. No, it's so true, because it's the same. Like I've got a newborn. So like I'm up at 6 every day. Like I'm normally in bed by 9:30. Like there's this massive routine and I've got no free time. But then I can also feel like I can't reproach myself. You know, it's like, well, if you don't learn Russian and write a novel, you don't lack time, you lack motivation. And I'm like, oh, I would have written a novel, but I'm very busy, you know, looking after a baby.
How was it, by the way, Anne? Because obviously everyone is dying to know. And first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
On the podcast.
Yeah. How did it go? How was the birth? Was everything all right?
Oh, I'll give you a quick birth story. Ready?
Yes.
All right, then. So so it was my son's...
Is this part of the lying game?
No, the plan is to do that afterwards. But hey, I'm going to open a drink. Have you guys got
go
a drink
it.
Going? You got
I
beer
had a
or anything?
Cup of tea.
You got a cup of tea. Very good, Amber.
I had a cup of tea.
I've got a beer to my side, but it's too cold, too warm, too cold. Yeah. Too
well,
warm. Too warm.
I'm drinking a can of lager. Go ahead, Amber.
Is that
enjoy?
Is that go on. Sorry, Amber. Go.
Oh, that's right. So it was actually my son's birthday, and we had like a treasure hunt for his birthday. So we'd like hidden his presents around the flat, and you know had little clues so he could find them. It was his idea. I'm not that like creative.
Wait, it was
like,
your son.
Treasure hunt.
Your daughter was born on your son's birthday.
Yeah.
How does he feel about that?
I think he feels all right, because like we call her FOMO baby. Because like she was just like, what, there's a party? I'm coming. And like whenever we're doing something, like trying to have dinner, she's like crying. I'm just like, FOMO baby. She's desperate to get involved.
FOMO.
With whatever's going on. FOMO, Luke.
Don't know FOMO.
What is FOMO, Amber?
Don't know FOMO.
It's fear of missing out.
FOMO. I see. I don't have FOMO. Although I do. I do.
Well, no one has FOMO because nothing's going on at the moment. So. Like it's very easy. But so it was his birthday, and so we'd got up really early because he was really excited, and then around 8 o'clock my waters broke, like in a movie. Just
PM.
Like walking along, in the morning, 8 AM.
Yeah. Ooh.
And I thought, oh, I won't say anything. I'll just try and like carry on. I don't want to go to hospital yet, because if they break, you've got to go to hospital.
Wait a minute, your water's broken. You're like, I won't say anything. I'll just try and carry on. Like you just pretended it hadn't happened.
Yeah, I thought I'll just carry on until it gets painful, because otherwise, if you say something, they make you go in. And I thought, oh, it might take hours. And so I thought, well, I won't say anything. We opened the presents, but like I was just gushing water every time I walked anywhere.
I hope Hugo will one day appreciate this, that you like your water's broke, but you held it in because you didn't want to interrupt his present opening.
Exactly. And then I was like, oh, I phoned the hospital. They were like, no, you've got to come in. So I was like, oh, okay. So we phoned our in-laws because they were coming for the birthday party. You know, we decorated the flat and everything. And I thought they'd whiz over, but they didn't. They took their sweet time. So like 2 hours later, they rocked up. I was like, mate, come on.
I'm having a baby here.
So we went to the hospital, but we got to the hospital and there were like four couples in the waiting room. It was a Sunday, four couples in the waiting room before us. And they'd been there for hours And like one of them was in labor, one of them her waters had broken, one of them was waiting for a checkup and, you know, some other one.
What?
And so we were waiting and waiting and waiting. And then it was like 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And I said to Nick, I'll just go for lunch. You may as well. It's going to be ages. So he went off and had lunch, like in a restaurant, sit down, you know.
Three course meal.
And, yeah. And there was this other couple opposite us. And they were kind of in the same situation. And he was really hungry as well. And I was like, oh, you should just go for lunch. And they were like, oh, no, no. And I was like, I'll just go for lunch. Anyway, but then like we were waiting for such a long time that I actually went into labor and I started, it just started getting so painful that like, it's really embarrassing because there's loads of people and you want to be quite discreet because you're in a way in a public space. But
well, and you're English as well. So English, that doesn't help.
Yeah, exactly. But by the end, I'd like, I took off my shoes. I like took off my, like I was wearing leggings, like under a dress. I'd like taken them off. Like I was lying on the floor. I was crying.
Wait, you were like, you were lying on the floor in the waiting room.
Yeah. Crying, like literally crying tears. And then, and like with my head on the sort of chair and like there were other people in the waiting room just being like, oh.
Meanwhile, your husband is starting his dessert.
Yeah. He's starting dessert.
In a restaurant.
Exactly around the corner.
He's on the DJ Steve. He's got a bit of limoncello going on.
Exactly. And then like they like up like it was getting like pretty intense. And so this midwife rushed out eventually. She was just like, just come with us, we've got no room. There's no more salle de naissance. There's no room for you to come in, but come in. You can't just carry on screaming in the waiting room. And so I came in and they put me in like a sort of separate but not a birth room, but they measure you, Paul, as you know what they do. Mm-hmm. And Luke as well. And they were like, okay, you're 6 centimeters and there's only 10 in total. And I was like, okay. And it was really painful. And they're like, you can have a bath while you wait. I was like, okay. So they put me in the bath. And then and Nico, my partner, was trying to be really supportive. And he was just like, you're doing great. And I was furious. I was just like, fuck off. Fuck off. I didn't want any of his platitudes. I was just like, fuck you. I'm not interested. And I stayed in the bath for a while. And that was really nice. But it was really painful. And then they were like, there's a salle de naissance free. And so then they got me out the bath and they put me on like an office chair, like a wheelie office chair. And they wheeled me down the corridor, like
what?
just naked and wet from this bath and in pain. And they wheeled me down the corridor.
Didn't they have like some kind of wheelie bed or some other
proper? I just think they needed to get me out there. They were like, let's get her in.
We should say also that this happened before the lockdown, right?
Before the lockdown, okay. Yeah. It was in February.
Yeah.
And so then I got into the room and they were like, okay, you're 9 centimeters. I was like, okay. And they're like, do you want the epidural? And I was like, yes, I want the epidural. And then the doctor tried to put the epidural in and he kept getting it wrong. And I was getting really angry. And then he said, because I was feeling angry. And he said, oh, madame, is it, c'est moi qui vous faites mal? You know, is it me that's hurting you or is it the contraction? And I was so furious with him. I just thought, I'm going to fucking tutoi you. And so I was like... C'est toi qui me fait mal.
You may need to explain to our non-French aware listeners what tutoying is.
I use the informal you for the doctor to show him how angry I was with him for not getting my epidural in.
That's fighting talk, isn't it, in France?
That's fighting talk.
I didn't realise. Yeah. I thought there was a... I remember... that yeah. There was like a limit of the epidural, like there's a point where you can't do it because it...
There's no limit, but what they say, so there is no limit. Like you can have your epidural at 9 centimeters like I did.
Wait, can you
but
have,
they say to you,
can you have the epidural? Can you have the epidural afterwards? Like you've had the baby and like, I didn't get the epidural. Can I have it now anyway?
That would have been lovely. But I think the thing is they sort of say to you, don't leave it too late because there's only normally one anaesthetist like on the ward or, you know, in the place. And so if you sort of say, oh, I'm going to do it on my own and then you change your mind and he or she is busy, you're kind of fucked. So you want it, you have to sort of say, I want it. And then they try and fit you in. And it was just really busy. And then it was fine. Then after the epidural, I fell asleep practically. I was like, oh, it's lovely. And then the baby came that evening. She was a very fat, chubby little baby, just like with those Michelin arms. It was fine. It was fine after that. It was good.
Okay.
So everything was good. But she was like born the same day as her brother. So now they've got the same birthday.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know.
Well, it's good for you, I guess, as parents. Difficult for them, probably, because then there's going to be probably competition between who got the best present, blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. But when they're older, it'll be cool because I guess they'll be able to celebrate it together and that's fun. And for parents, for you, it's just like, oh, we'd have to we'd have to do four different birthdays in the year. You know, mum, dad, baby one, baby two. It's just mum, dad, baby.
Well, also, because there's such a big age difference, I don't think they'll, do you know, it's like completely different. They're not. You know, they're not really going to compete, but yeah. Anyway, same birthday. So it was all right in the end.
Cool. And how is she? Is she okay? Is she like Paul's baby? Is she crying all the time? And
all the time.
Really?
Just all the time. She's got two versions of her, two modes. She's asleep or she's fucking furious. She's like, I'm asleep or I'm really livid that I'm not asleep. Like for about 10 minutes she giggles on a mat and it's adorable, and for the rest of the time she's just like, she's stiff, you know, like her face is red, she's angry with every part of her body, like her fingers are angry, her toes are angry, she's just so angry and loud. And tonight Hugo was like, I don't know what he was talking about, he was talking some nonsense and he was like, Margot's the boss, like she's in charge. I was like, yeah, she is, she dictates
well
what goes
spotted.
On. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so she's just angry the whole time and loud.
Okay.
That's it.
But you're doing all right.
Well, it's different when it's your second baby, you know it will stop. Like for Paul, he was probably thinking, this is my life now.
Yeah. It's weird. It's got a lot better. It's got a lot better since, like, I'd say for us, it was like 7 months. Before 7 months, it was a nightmare. And since for the last 3 months, it's kind of been all right.
Can I just say on behalf of Lepland, the people of podcast land,
Lepland.
I worked it out, by the way. I live in Podville.
Yeah.
Which is in Lepland, which is a country in the continent of podcast land.
Podlandia.
Yeah, well, anyway, sorry, can I just say to you, Paul, on behalf of everyone in Lepland, we're very happy and very relieved to hear this news that it's got a bit better. Because like all we've ever heard is like, oh, it's a fucking nightmare, blah blah blah. So we're very happy to hear this. Go on, tell us more.
Yeah, no, it's good. She started off like Margot started off, by the sounds of it, just angry all the time. Everything it was either asleep or just angry about being alive, which was very stressful. And I'd say after I don't really know. There wasn't like a turning point. It was just like a gradual thing where she started sleeping okay, and then when she was awake, she wasn't so angry. When she was born, she was frustrated that she couldn't do anything, and then she became frustrated that she couldn't turn over. And then when she turned over, she was frustrated that she couldn't stand up. And then when she was standing up, she was frustrated that she couldn't walk. And now that she can walk-ish, she's kind of all right. She's exploring the house and she's a bit more happy throughout the day. So the good thing about being confined or on lockdown is that we are able to see like the stuff happening. Whereas a lot of that stuff happens at creche. If you put your baby into creche, you miss like the first words, the first step, whatever it is. Mm. So that's been fun for the past month. It's still a nightmare.
Yeah. Do we have a place?
Yeah. No, we didn't. So we had to get a private creche situation because we moved house stupidly just after the birth. So we obviously had no, you know, you need to apply for creche like even before you've met your future husband or wife.
Exactly.
In or around Paris, basically, like 10 years advance. You need to go like, I'm going to have a baby in 10 years.
As soon as you hit puberty, you've got to apply for a place in creche.
As soon as you're born, you need to have a spot in creche. So there was obviously no places left. So we had to, there was no way the way she was behaving, like there was no way we could deal with her every day of the week.
Yeah.
So we found like a private creche that costs an arm and a leg, but at least we got her out of the house for 3 days a week. And we had just upgraded to 4 days a week the week before the lockdown happened. So that was great.
Yeah, that was a frightening prospect, wasn't it? When we all realised, wait a minute, they're closing the schools, they're closing the daycare centres. Oh my God! Because, like, I mean, it's sort of weird, isn't it, that we have children and then we can't be with them, like we can't handle it, and yeah. we just want them to be asleep. But I mean, you know, we love them and everything, but it is also sort of tricky. But yeah, that moment where we realised, when Emmanuel Macron came on the TV and in very serious, with a, you know, in a very serious way, it was like, we're going to close the schools. We were like, oh God. And there's no end in sight. We don't know when the schools and creches are going to open again. But actually, it's all right, isn't it? We do get to see our children grow up. We do love them.
Well, it depends. I mean, yeah. No, but I mean, I think, like, it's different because, like, Hugo's six. So it's kind of a sweet spot because he is too young to actually need any school. So we don't really do any school, but old enough that he can play by himself. And actually, he's just got into Harry Potter, so we've just been downloading the books, and he's been listening. I have had to ration them because he listened to the first one just like the whole book, like 10 hours just straight. He was kind of like wired. I was like, okay, you can only have 2 hours of Harry Potter a day. That's your maximum.
Wow.
You're not allowed to listen to any more. But so he can like listen to stories, and he plays on his own, and like. It is easier, and actually it has been quite nice than being off of school.
Yes.
Okay.
Have you been having to think of special ways to keep him entertained? Have you been creative? Or is it just Harry Potter?
It's mainly Harry Potter. I've let Stephen Fry do the heavy lifting, because he narrates it.
Yeah, he does the audiobook, doesn't he? Which is available, listeners, on audible.com. Just if you want to get a 30-day free trial, which includes the download of a free audiobook of your choice. You could choose any of the Harry Potter series. Just go to audibletrial.com/teacherluke to get started.
Yes.
Actually, it's been pronounced fantastic. Harry Potter.
Is it Harry? Is it Harry Potter?
Yeah.
Harry Potter.
Just ask Felix.
Felix is one of Paul's friends. You're the director of your TV show.
Director of the show. Yeah, he was on my live yesterday because somebody was talking about there was a thing going around the internet about how difficult French is to learn, and the phrase "your uncle mows your tuna" was running around because in French it's ton 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 ton
ton ton ton ton ton ton. Is it
ton 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 ton? And so
yeah.
Everyone sent, about 200 people sent me that phrase over the weekend. And so I talked about it on the podcast, I don't even know what I do, podcast live. I don't know what it is.
Wait a minute.
The live show that I'm doing.
Wait a minute. I'm getting a message from thousands of Lepsters who are going, wait a minute, what was that ton, 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 ton thing? We need to break that down before you continue, right. Please.
Hold on. There is another ton, ton thing as well.
Go on.
There's another one, which is if your uncle shaved your uncle shaved would be. Which is si ton 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 sera.
Oh God,
that's funny. Yeah, well, I mean, it wasn't anything new. It was just like
No one knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, right. Okay, so there's a tongue twister in French, which if you translate it to English literally, and you type into Google Translate, everyone listening to this podcast right now, once I'm finished explaining, hit pause, and then go on to Google. Translate and type in the English phrase, your uncle mows your tuna, as in mowing a lawn. Your uncle mows your tuna.
Wait, mows is spelt M-O-W-S.
Mm.
And tuna is obviously the fish, T-U-N-A.
Yeah. And you type that into Google Translate, have French as the target language. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
A target language?
Yeah.
Look at me.
Knowing a word, you knew a phrase in English.
I know. It's type French as your target language and then hit the pronounce button and it'll come out as ton, 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 ton.
Wait, shall I try and do that right now?
Yeah
go on.
Why not? Okay, let's see if I can do this. So, okay, I'm now going on to Google Translate and Paul is going, wait a minute, Luke.
I prefer deep L. Okay. I don't know it does pronunciation.
That's another.
Yeah, it does. This was a TikTok meme that was going, or whatever you call it, a TikTok challenge. I don't know. You want the first language to be English. Yeah, that's it. Your uncle
Mows
your tuna. Okay, and there it is. Ton oncle.
Ton ton is a familiar word. Like it
Yeah. Okay. So if, all right. So going to the French version.
Yeah, but I've done it. I've changed it by in English. I've typed your tonton. It doesn't work. So I need to change that back to.
Right, tonton is one word. Tonton is one word.
Oh, is it? Okay. So if I go into the French version, there it still doesn't give me the option to have your tonton.
Yeah, it's probably because it's just because the thing that I was talking about on my show was that to mow your tuna is a bit weird. Like I would have said shaved or trim. Because it's the same, they're just synonyms of to shave. Votre tonton. Yeah,
it's too polite. This version of Google Translate.
Switch the language and type it in into French.
Go off of Google Translate. Go on to DeepL.
Okay.
Tonton.
Oh, that.
There's a deep.
Yeah, and now I can do it.
Your uncle measures you.
Tonton.
There we go. Okay, which means your uncle mows your tuna. But hey, it's funny, isn't it? Because it's just ton again and again. Brilliant.
Exactly. So going back to Felix, I wanted to find like an English equivalent of that. And the only English equivalent that I found online was a phrase which looks difficult to pronounce if you're not an English speaker, which is that one, which is I'm showing it on the screen now. You can probably find it and put it up on the page. Is English is difficult to English is difficult.
It's difficult to say as well.
It can be understood through tough, thorough thought, though.
Mm.
And it all looks like it's spelt the same. And somebody said, oh, you should find somebody French to pronounce that. And I was like, all right, cool. I'll call my mate Felix. And he pronounced it pretty well. And that was why Amber was referring to Felix when I was talking about, there was a word.
Welcome to my life.
Bottle, you should ask bottle. Felix. Because... Oh, bottle. And then because he made fun of me because every time I say a bottle of water, like on set when he's there, he imitates me and he goes, oh, bottle of water. And
so it was Harry Potter. It was Harry Potter.
It was Harry Potter. Yeah.
There we go.
That was a long way around.
audibletrial.com/teacherluke to download.
Are you sponsored by Audible still?
Well, yeah, that's still active. Yeah, so if I, you know,
oh, it's still active.
It's still an ongoing arrangement. So there you go.
Amazing.
Okay, Paul, have you had to be creative with your daughter in terms of like giving her things to do, or is she too small for that?
Creative, yes and no, in the sense that like we've had to. Like she was crawling before we locked down, and she was standing up on her own. And now she's kind of almost walking. Like she took her first steps last week, and it's just the creative part has been trying to. She just wants to touch and ruin everything that we've got in the house that's not her toys. So we buy her a bunch of toys. And then she doesn't care. She still wants to rip apart my cables, like our books and things like that. And so it's just trying to find ways to stop her from doing that. But I guess she's a little bit. I mean, whatever. We've bought her a couple of toys since, and we play with her and read her books and stuff like that, and watch a bit of cartoons. The only way we can cut her nails is to put her in front of a cartoon and cut her nails. Otherwise, she's just flailing around like a crazy person.
any signs of bilingualism yet in your daughter?
No, she still complains very much in French.
Yeah,
she speaks French. Does she speak?
No, she says. She makes noises that sound like papa and mama, but I don't think she's actually saying those words meaningfully. She's mm-hmm. getting there, but
mm-hmm. she'll get there.
How about on your side, Luke? Is the little one showing? Well, I mean, she's speaking English there. We heard, which was
yeah. She's speaking. Great. She's speaking both, and so we've been using the lockdown as a chance to kind of boost her English, because obviously normally when she's at creche, it's all French, so she's getting loads of French. So at the moment, we're just doing English all the time. So my wife speaks English to her, I speak English to her, so it's just English all the time, and it's working. It's really good. She's starting to like speak. She's mixing it up. I mean, Amber, you'll know because you've been through this, but I suppose that it's normal for a child who's going to be bilingual to sort of combine both in the same sentence sometimes. So she makes negatives in the French way with just saying pas at the start. So she says pas like it, meaning I don't like it. So if I'm giving her something she doesn't like, she goes pas like it, and which is really cute. And she's gone for everything used to be like all possessives, like my was always French, so ma blah blah blah, and that's starting to like morph into my, but it's become ma. So it's like everything is ma thing, like, so it's like what would it be? My phone. She's got like a toy wooden phone. So it's my phone. And then like she's learned the word favourite. So it's now my favourite yoghurt. Like that.
That's amazing.
Also, like some words, some sounds in English she is still struggling to say. That's not because of French. That's just because she's, you know, 28 months old. And she sounds like a Cockney with some things.
French people sound Cockney though, don't they?
Do they? French
they can sound very Cockney.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think.
Oh, right.
That
think, yeah.
They're trying to sound, because I've got this woman I work with, and she tries to sound quite nice, but she sounds really Cockney. She sounds like a sort of posh Cockney. She sounds like Eliza Doolittle, like on her journey. I think that we should do this.
And
you're like.
Right, that and Cockney. Think, yeah. TH
think
sounds.
Think, that.
Yeah, because Cockneys don't pronounce, they don't say think, they say think with an F sound. But that's not the one, it's her L sounds. So it's things like milk.
Dark L.
Milk is the one. So in the morning when she wants her milk, she cries out for it, but she doesn't go milk, milk. She goes milk, milk, milk.
Milk, yeah. Milk.
With a W.
Hugo still says milk.
Does he? Milk, which is so Cockney. Oh, mate, do you want some milk?
He can't do the. He always says sort of like f. And like, I'm always correcting him. I'm like, you want a bath, do you? It's free, is it? And so I'm always going the. But he, what does he say? So, but his nemesis word is feather, because it's got a f and a th sound in it. And I'm feather. Telling him, you know, it's a. Th, and so he goes feather. He can only go feather or feather. He can't have both sounds.
Sounds like Michael Caine. Feather.
Feather. Yeah. It's either feather or feather.
Right. I see. So yeah.
Too hard.
Milk. And other words with an L in the middle sound like a W. So she sounds like a Cockney, which is quite cool. Yeah. And she says, you know, when she wants you to pick her up, she says, you know, it's bra, bra. But that's become, it's now just bois, 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 bois.
So that's like a rapper.
Bois, bois, yeah, bra, bra, bra. That's what I do to her. When she goes bois, 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 I'm like bra, bra, bra. Like that back to her. So she goes, she's quite funny. Amazing. She'll just suddenly just throw her arms up in the air and go, bois, bois, like that. I'm like, you're a Cockney rapper. You're brilliant.
Milk.
Milk. Give my milk, my milk.
You need to start a band.
Yeah, definitely. But that's normal, is it, Amber, that she will be mixing up English and French in the same sentence?
Yeah, definitely. Of course, she'll be mixing up English and French, and then she'll be mixing up grammar as well. Like Hugo mixes up French grammar, and he used to do it the other way around. Like he'd say, you know, they say une voiture bleue, and we'd say blue car, but he'd do it the other way around. Like in French, he'd say bleu voiture, you know, his English was messing with his French. So it goes both ways. And sometimes he'd lose a word. Like he lost with for a while. He's just having a totally normal sentence. He'd be like, "What? I went out avec granny yesterday." I'm like, what was, where did with go? You went away last weekend. You had with, you've come back. With is gone. So sometimes a word goes missing. And of course, then there's just regular mistakes that I think Anglophone children make, but maybe they make them a bit longer. Like he sometimes conjugates things like cummed, he's got that logic
because
of like ed is like a regular verb ending, and but you know he's six. I don't know if six-year-olds still do that in England, so you don't know like what point is it just regular child mistakes and what point is it bilingual errors.
Yeah, instead of saying I came home, it's I cummed home.
Yeah, I seed, you know, I sawed, instead of, or I sawed, you know, something like that, for I saw,
That is totally normal, but I don't know if it's a six-year-old thing or if like normal children fix that earlier or not.
Yeah, and then there's other things as well, like, I mean, because you get some English from cartoons and from like television, cartoons and like audio stories, he comes out with like funny expressions or sometimes American words. Like he was listening to Paw Patrol and he was saying things like, he said to me, "I'm ready for Judy, Amber. I'm ready for Judy." And I was like, Judy? Who's Judy?
Judge Judy.
And he meant duty, because the Paw Patrol were like these little dog rescue agents. And so he meant, but they were saying it with an American accent and he was hearing Judy. "I'm ready for duty."
Right.
Judy. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, totally see what you mean. So he was saying Judy, meaning duty, because it's the American pronunciation. You were like, who's Judy? Who is this Judy person?
Who's Judy? And then, of course, there's the same thing that all French people do, which is still quite cute. Like, you know, calling objects he or she, or like a spider, she, like, "Oh, I saw her." You're like, "Oh, did you?"
What's her name?
Yeah.
Very cute.
Exactly.
Charlotte.
We shouldn't give our kids too much screen time, but during this period, it's hard to avoid, isn't it? So I do let my daughter watch a bit of Netflix, and it's hard to find exactly the right show, because you know, you want something good, but something that she likes. I let her watch American English shows. Because there's nothing wrong with American English, right? But I also, at the same time, I want her to kind of watch British English shows, because I do want her to speak like me.
CBeebies is really good. If you can get CBeebies, they've got incredible, really, really good cartoons.
What
on
is
there.
CBeebies? I know what it is, but my audience might not.
It's the BBC, but for children. It's children's BBC.
CBeebies, yeah. CBeebies. How do you get CBeebies?
You need to hide your IP address.
VPN.
You need a VPN.
You need a VPN, and then
this episode sponsored by NordVPN. Have you ever needed security?
But you know,
not a bad idea.
Like,
I should get in touch with them.
You should.
Things like Hey Dougie are really good, and they've got like the Teletubbies, and they've got the, you know, the Night Garden, and
do
really,
they have
really
Postman
good stuff.
Pat?
Maybe,
because I've been like, I mean, Louise is way too young to be watching cartoons, but sometimes I'll put it on. And because you like the Postman Pat's really good, because there's a bunch of different accents in there. There's like everyone's got a different accent from different parts of the UK, which is great.
What's the what's the synopsis of Postman Pat? Can you just sum that up to pitch it to us, if you would?
Okay, so there's a postman and he's called Pat,
mm-hmm.
and he's got a black and white cat, and everybody loves him.
Postman Pat, Postman Pat. Postman Pat and his black and white cat, right? Early in
the morning, when the day is dawning.
Postman Pat is busy on his way. Something like that, isn't
it? Good. The version I know is he picks up all his post bags in his van.
Right.
It might have multiple
on YouTube. They've got like the official channel, but the problem with the official like Postman Pat YouTube channel is that they just... it's full of adverts. There's like 25 adverts during the show, and it's just annoying because the adverts have got nothing to do with kids.
But there's, you know,
it's like shampoo,
kids.
Whatever. Is there? Is that an app?
What?
Yeah, you can get it on your phone, because, I mean, that's the problem with YouTube, is that sometimes if you let children watch it, and the adverts can be disturbing. Mm-hmm. And when they're really little, it's just pictures. But when they're a bit older, it can be really inappropriate. And you're like, why is this video game being advertised during Teletubbies? Like, it's sort of really violent. Yeah.
Sniper HD now available on iPhone and Android. Murder presidents in HD video quality. 4K brain splatter now available.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's like, and you forget just how, I mean, now, like, Hugo's 6, and I was watching Paul's live at 5 a while ago, and he was just like, just swearing along. Why did he say fucking? Don't worry, darling. It doesn't matter. What's bollocks? Great. Don't worry, darling. It's fine.
What's bollocks? You know, it's what are bollocks, darling.
Darling, it's plural. It's what are. Yeah. No, I don't mind. I think swearing is important. I already told you how I had to correct his use of bullshit just last week.
Tell us again.
We were out and he saw something and he was like, "That's bullshit." And I was like, no, that's just shit. You mean to say that it's not good? Bullshit means you suspect it not to be true. It's a fine line, but it's important you get it right.
Wait, what was the thing he said was shit?
I can't remember. He'd seen something and he was like, he wanted to say like, "Oh, that's rubbish. That's shit." Like, something was shut or something, you know, some disappointment. And he said bullshit. And I was like, no, you've misused bullshit there. I'll not have a son of mine erroneously using swear
bullshit.
Words.
Well done, Amber.
Someone's got to, because he's not going to get in the playground, is he?
No, I guess not. I've tried to get my daughter to watch Puffin Rock.
Oh, it's good, Puffin Rock.
I do like Puffin Rock. Do you know about Puffin Rock, Paul?
No, is that on Netflix?
Yeah, it's nice. And the thing I like, first of all, it's about a little island, which I'm assuming is probably off the island of Ireland somewhere. It's like an island off Northern Ireland or something. And it's populated by puffins and animals and things.
Oh, nice.
And it's like...
Life really- is sweet on beautiful Puffin Rock, where Puffling Una, her baby brother Baba, and their Baba, nice, and their pals learn about nature, friendship, and family.
They learn about nature, friendship, and family, and it's these...
Is this a UK show or an American show?
It's a UK show. Well, I think it's an Irish show, really. Or one of the nice things about it, as well as the
well, hello there, welcome to Puffin Park.
Exactly.
Puffin Rock.
Hey, exactly. Baby. It's like that. Welcome to Puffin Rock.
And, I mean, it does sound... The cast is Chris O'Dowd, Kate McCafferty, Sally McDade. Yeah, it sounds very
It's full
Irish.
Of lovely, lovely, lovely Irish accents, both from the Republic and from Northern Ireland. So you got both.
You've amazing.
Got both
we're going to check that one out.
Yeah, I do recommend it. Although my daughter's kind of over it now. You know, she's just like, no, pasa, pasa, pasa. Meaning, not that, not that, not that. And I'm like, what? I'm sorry, I don't understand you. So Puffin Rock, and also Shaun the Sheep is pretty good, but it's how do you describe it? There's no speaking in it. It's just it's mime based. Yeah, but it's very good. Aardman Animations, the people behind the wonderful Wallace and Gromit films. So anyway, there you go.
Oh yeah, yeah. The two things that we watched that we watch pretty regularly are Peppa Pig and Simon.
Yeah, yeah. We watched a lot of Simon. I avoid Peppa Pig because I think that I've got like a sort of conspiracy theory that maybe Peppa Pig is subliminally teaching children to, I don't know what. I don't trust it. I don't trust Peppa Pig.
You're not the first person. Who was I talking to? It was Fanny, my producer, said this thing.
There's a whole theory. What's the theory about Peppa Pig then?
The theory is that like they're naughty. Peppa and George are naughty.
Evil. I'd go as far as to say they're
to be
evil.
Naughty.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, they jump in muddy puddles. It's nonsense. Like, I think they're annoying, yes, but I mean, I don't think they're subversive. I don't think if you play Peppa Pig backwards, it's going to be like.
No, I'm concerned. I'm concerned that if you play Peppa Pig forwards, that it's going to be bad for the kids.
No, but there's this theory that they're sort of like, yeah, they're naughty, Peppa and George, because they get up to mischief. But I think it's a bit nonsense. I think Peppa Pig's great. I mean,
really?
The thing is, those little cartoons, they don't last that long. They grow out of them quite quickly.
Yeah.
And these cartoons, I mean, like Teletubbies, Hugo used to watch it and he'd be, I mean, they're talking nonsense and he was killing himself. He found it hilarious. I'm like, what? Why is it so funny? I can't understand.
Teletubbies is completely mental.
But what's more mental is Welcome to the Night Garden. It's so freaky. It's absolutely bonkers.
What's Welcome to the Night Garden about?
Is it Welcome to the Night Garden or In the Night Garden? In the Night Garden.
In the Night Garden.
It's Iggle Piggle and Upsy Daisy and the Wattingers and just like this whole gang of loons who live in the Night Garden.
What, just a gang of insane, like casualty hippies who are still living in the garden?
Yeah, they're puppets and stuff.
Okay.
Well, I mean, like Teletubbies, you know, like dressed up. Mm. But there's all sorts of... There's the Upsy Daisies, and none of them speak English. There's a voiceover. There's a narrator who's like, "Let's go and see what Iggle Piggle's up to." Hello, Iggle Piggle, and Iggle Piggle's just like looning around doing something, and then Upsy Daisies there, and they're having some sort of like fun, and then, oh dear, let's go and see what the Wattingers are doing, and then like you go and check out the Wattingers, and they've got this love-hate relationship with their neighbours. It's very weird.
Just really weird madness. I mean, it's like Teletubbies is like that. When you think about it, I mean, this point has probably been made before by other people, but Teletubbies is weird. First of all, it takes place in a weird post-apocalyptic world where everyone has to live under the ground in bunkers, and they are allowed above ground for a certain number of hours per day before like these speaker things come out of the ground and tell the children to go underground. So like these, literally these things come out and like, okay, children, get, you know, get back indoors. Like, why is there radiation? Is there a virus? What, why is it? And then they go indoors and there's like the sun is the face of a child, just this giggling sort of slightly demonic sun. And where, what are they anyway? Are they sort of mutated sort of bio, like, are they people that have fused with technology and they've got TVs in their bodies? And I don't know. It's just scary. It scares me, Amber.
It's very weird. It's very, very, I met just thinking this,
wait, you met Tinky Winky. This sounds like, yeah, like a story for the Lion Game. You met Tinky exactly. Winky once. This Tinky is Winky. one of the Teletubbies guys, by the way.
I met Tinky Winky. He was doing stand up, and but the reason I know he's Tinky Winky.
He was doing
as
stand-up.
Tinky Winky, or
not in, as Tinky in, Winky, in not as Tinky Winky. But the only reason I know he's Tinky Winky is because he told people, and I was like, "You don't ever have to tell anyone that. No one need know. Why are you telling people?"
You mean you met the person who plays Tinky Winky?
That's right.
I thought you meant you saw Tinky Winky on stage, like, you know, which one is Tinky Winky? Is he the one with the circle?
He's the purple one.
The purple one with a triangle on the top of his head?
Can't remember.
Anyway,
I
thought you meant you saw Tinky Winky on stage himself, but no it's the actor who
Tinky
played.
Winky, he's hard times. He's gone on stand-up circuits. No, okay. Just the actor.
All right.
I was just thinking this is probably super interesting for everyone who doesn't have kids.
Yeah.
The last half an hour, they were like, see you later.
Totally.
Yeah,
I think I need to flag up at the beginning that this is a large part of this is us rabbiting on about what it's like having kids, and also Teletubbies. Like, lots, there'll be every single subject that we brought up has chopped off another section of the audience. So the only people left now are the ones who've got kids on lockdown and they know what Teletubbies is. The rest of them are all gone.
Yeah, it's just us left, really.
Just final question then. Have you guys had any time to actually watch any stuff yourselves on TV? Have you been, you know, everyone's talking about binge watching Netflix. And I saw something on, my wife sent me this on text. I don't know where she found it, but someone on Twitter had written, the only thing I'm binge watching at the moment is my 10-month-old toddler. You know, but I don't know if you've been watching anything yourselves. Have you been managing to watch any TV or films or anything lately?
A bit.
What's the things I watched? I basically am up till like 3 a.m. That's kind of like the rhythm that we found at home, is that like my kind of free time is from like now till, well, from like midnight till 3. So I end up just watching stuff. It ends up inspiring me, whatever. We did end up watching Tiger King on Netflix, which everyone was banging on about a couple of weeks ago on social media. All I heard, I was like, all right, cool, let's check one episode out, because Andy likes big cats. And so we watched the first episode and it was like, oh, okay, cool. So, and then we just carried on watching. It's only 7 episodes, I think, for an hour long. Mm-hmm. So we did it in like a week and a half or something. And then
is it good?
Yeah, it is. It's really good. Like, you need to watch it to, like, it's weird. It doesn't, no one can describe it enough for you to watch it. You just have to watch the first episode and go, oh, it's just about this crazy guy who hoards, he doesn't even hoard. He's got a zoo somewhere in Oklahoma, with different tigers and cats and ligers and all this kind of stuff. And it's basically less about that and more about like the business and the war between him and two other people that have got cat sanctuaries. And he hates one of the women who's trying to be a protective, you know, she's trying to protect the animals by taking them, opening another park, but she's still making money from it. So she's kind of a hypocrite. They're all crazy Americans. It's like a show that could only work in America because the people, the different people I've spoken to who've watched it, it's like, yeah, there's something interesting with the US is that you get people like that, but you wouldn't necessarily get them like that in France. Like, people aren't that crazy, or I don't know. It's just whether the country's so vast over out there, and there's such a big population that ultimately is run by one person, but by different, like, it's just the way the political system is built and the way it's been over the, like, it allows, same with Russia, right? You see crazy shit coming out of Russia and you see crazy shit coming out of the US, but you never really see, like, I don't know, a TV show about some crazy UK got person in the UK who is mental. You know, I don't know. It's just it feels like a very American TV show. It's good. It's a compelling watch.
Okay,
because it's true. It's a documentary, but it when you watch it, it's like a series because it feels like fiction, but it's actually real.
Okay, all right, must check it out. What about you, Amber? Anything?
Better Call Saul. Mm-hmm. I've been watching that. I started from the beginning, and I'm just finishing. I think it's brilliant. Really good. I really like that. But I've kind of not had that much time to watch. But I've also not fancied it that much. I've been going to bed really early because I'm really tired.
Except tonight.
No, because like the baby, I put her to sleep at 8 and she sleeps till about 1. And like, honestly, by 9 o'clock, I'm like, right, I'm in bed. And so I've been listening to a podcast at night, which I don't normally do, which is, do you know This Is Love and Criminal?
No.
Which are they're on Radiotopia. And the woman who runs them, Phoebe Judge, she's kind of got this incredible voice. And during the lockdown, she's released this new podcast, which is just, you know, Phoebe reads a mystery. So she read a Conan Doyle, she read an Agatha Christie, and she's reading Wilkie Collins' The Moonstone at the moment. And I just kind of listen to it, this one chapter before I go to bed, and I just kind of pass out. It's really incredibly soothing, and it's not normally something I'd do. I do tend to like stay up late watching everything on Netflix, but I've kind of abandoned it.
What's it called again, this podcast?
This one's called Phoebe Reads a Mystery.
Phoebe Reads a Mystery. It sounds good. I like those stories.
Yeah. And she's also Criminal and This Is Love are brilliant podcasts as well. Okay. I really enjoy them. Okay. So yeah, I've been listening to podcasts because I kind of need to keep my hands free and, you know, keep eyes on a baby. So that's what I've been doing.
Okay. Nice one. Thank you for listening. As I said, episode 663 will arrive fairly soon. And yes, that will be an episode of The Lion Game, the lockdown Lion Game with Amber and Paul. So that's what you can expect from the next episode when that one arrives. Okay, so let me just end the episode here. Let's see, just a reminder of some of the things that you heard us mention there, specifically TV shows and podcasts that we've been watching or that Amber and Paul have been watching or listening to. So Paul mentioned Tiger King. There is a mention of that show again. So I just wanted to, by the way, all these things are written on the page for the episode. So if you want to check out these shows or podcasts and you didn't catch the names of them, then just go to the page for the episode and you'll see them. Tiger King, Better Call Saul, also podcasts that Amber's been listening to, Phoebe Reads a Mystery, and Criminal, and also This Is Love. Okay, all right then, folks. So, I mean, what else remains to be said at this point? I could probably ramble for a few minutes at the end here. Some people have noticed that episode 666 is coming soon. Episode 666. Oh, yes. And people have been writing to me saying, Luke, episode 666 is coming. Are you going to plan something special? Are you going to do something scary, something evil for that episode? And yes, I am. I said when I have said previously, I think I said it on the YouTube live stream I did for episode 600 last year, that I would be doing something to mark episode 666. How could I let episode 666 go by without doing something appropriately kind of evil and scary? I mean, some people take that stuff very seriously, of course. There are people out there who, you know, you just mention 666 or mention things like demons and evil and stuff, and they get, it's very serious. Now, obviously, I won't be doing anything particularly serious, but rest assured that I'll be covering the topic in the appropriate fashion. I've been in touch with James, my brother, and we're planning stuff about stuff like music and films and stories and stuff. So we haven't recorded it yet, but it is in the pipeline. So there you go. So rest assured, episode 666 will be dealt with in the appropriate way. And that is pretty much it at this stage. As I said at the beginning of the episode, I am in the middle of a premium series, premium 22. And in that one, I'm going through language that came up in episode 649 of Luke's English podcast. There was loads and loads of like nice natural expressions and fixed expressions and collocations and chunks of language that just came up naturally in that episode. And so what I'm doing in this premium series is breaking it all down and giving you loads of examples to help you remember this language. It's one thing hearing them once in an episode of the podcast, but it's another thing to actually be able to really properly understand what the expressions mean and to remember them and to then use them yourself. So that's what I'm doing in Premium Series 22. I've got something in the region of 20 fixed expressions. It's actually more than that in the episode. A bunch of fixed expressions, and I'm using examples from TV and films. I found a search engine online that allows you to search scripts of TV shows and films. It's brilliant. And so I'm getting loads of samples from different, you know, TV and film scripts that contain the target language. So you can see that it's not just me that's using these expressions. These are common expressions that you will come across in episodes of Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, or whatever it is that you're watching. So anyway, Premium Series 22, vocab, also pronunciation, memory tests, all of it. You can check that out. You can subscribe and get access to all those episodes by going to teacherluke.co.uk/premium. Okay. All right, then. It's nice to be back on the podcast as ever. And I'll speak to you in the next part. Okay. All right. Is it still raining? Yes, it's still raining. Never mind. I'm not going to go out. I mean, what am I going to do? It doesn't make any difference, really. All right. Hope you're keeping well, everyone. Stay happy, stay safe, and I'll speak to you next time. But for now, it's time to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. Wait, actually, before we finish, I'd like to sing. And the song I've chosen is called Pocket Full of Rainbows. It's an Elvis one from one of his films, 1960, G.I. Blues. And it seems appropriate because, well, you can hear from the lyrics. You'll find a link for the lyrics on the page for the episode if you'd like to read them. And so here we go. If you don't like hearing me sing, you can obviously stop listening. But otherwise, carry on, okay? Pocket Full of Rainbows. The skies are grey above. Got a pocket full of rainbows. Got a heart full of love. Mr. Heartache, I found a way to make him leave. Got a pocket full of rainbows. Got a star up my sleeve. Kiss me extra tender, hold me extra tight, 'cause I'm saving your sweetness for a lonely night. No more teardrops, now that I've found a love so true. Got a pocket full of rainbows, got an arm full of you. Kiss me extra tender, hold me extra tight, 'cause I'm saving your sweetness for a lonely night. Ay, 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 ay. No more heartaches, now that I've found a love so true. Got a pocket full of rainbows, got an arm full of you.
Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.